From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Wednesday, September 27th, and here are today's headlines. The Scott administration has started preparing for a possible shutdown of the federal government. Commissioner of Finance Adam Gresham says he sent a memo to agency heads Monday, alerting them to the situation in Washington, D.C. Gresham says he's directed secretaries and commissioners to draw down as many federal funds as possible before the end of the week.
Really, the main preparation on our part is to make sure every penny that is due us is in the bank.
A small group of House Republicans is threatening to block a short-term funding bill unless it includes cuts to most domestic programs and tougher enforcement policies along the Mexican border. And the federal government will enter into a shutdown on October 1st if Congress can't strike a deal to extend funding into the next federal fiscal year. Meanwhile, anxiety is growing among federal workers living in Vermont as that government shutdown looms. Daniel Scott is an area vice president for the American Federation of Government Employees. He represents federal workers in Vermont, Maine, and New Hampshire, working for the IRS, Homeland Security, and Social Security Administration, among other agencies. Scott says his message for hardline conservatives in Congress fighting against short-term government funding is to, quote, just get it done. But if a deal isn't struck,
I think the biggest thing sort of on everybody's mind is how long is it going to go and how long am I going to have to work without pay? And will I have to call up the mortgage company and say, hey, guys, it's not going to work out this month?
And a prolonged shutdown could affect government services, including nutrition assistance for low-income families. Senator Peter Welch is calling on New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez to immediately resign. Menendez is a Democrat and has been charged with using his power as chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to assist the government of Egypt and several New Jersey business people. The federal indictment claims he received cash, gold bars, and a luxury car in exchange for the services. Welch says the allegations are shocking.
So he's lost his ability to be effective, and I think the right thing for him to do is defend himself as vigorously as he wants, but do that on his own time.
Welch is among a handful of Democratic senators calling for Menendez to resign. Menendez says he's innocent of the charges and has no plans to step down. The state of Vermont wants to test more private drinking wells in Bennington after a new cluster of PFAS contamination was recently discovered. The so-called forever chemicals are often used to waterproof products. Richard Spies with the Department of Environmental Conservation says the contamination is located in a neighborhood with wells and with a public water supply that appears clean.
We're working with the town to try and figure out who has private wells there. So we're trying to figure it out, and we'll keep plugging away and get as many of those homes sampled as we can.
Spies says the new cluster is south of town, away from where PFAS chemicals were discovered in 2016. The state will host an informational meeting at 7 o'clock in the evening on Thursday at the Bennington Fire Department. Coming up, alarms sounded by a private water company in Woodstock. That's after this. The July flooding wrecked the downtown water system in Woodstock, and users there were without clean water for 10 days. When the damage was assessed, the private company that runs the water system didn't have enough money to put the pipes back together, and the state authorized an emergency loan to get the system running again. As climate change threatens to bring more flooding to Vermont, the future of Woodstock's water is in flux, as the company says it cannot afford to keep fixing its antiquated water system. My colleague Howard Weiss-Tisman has more.
How are you?
Good, thanks. Can I get
your
bag today?
Yes, please.
If you run into Jira Billings at his family's general store in Woodstock, he'll be more than happy to share some of the history of how his family has contributed to the town's growth over the past few centuries.
We have a sign here that says Warehouse of F.H. Gillingham and Sons. He built a warehouse at the Woodstock Railroad Station on the east end of town. This was in about 1886 or 7.
The Billings family helped Woodstock become a regional economic hub in the 19th century. And when the growing town needed clean water, the family started a private water company with other investors.
So there were local businessmen in 1880 that formed this corporation because the town refused to start a public water system.
Billings manages the general store, and he's president of the Woodstock Aqueduct Company, which is one of about a dozen and a half privately run water companies in Vermont. Most of the state's 400 or so water systems are managed by public municipal utilities. But a handful of ski areas, including Burke Mountain and Sugarbush, as well as small systems in Rutland, Barrie, and Pittsfield, are owned and managed by private companies. Private companies don't get help from FEMA after a disaster, and they can't access USDA grants or low-interest loans or bonds the way municipal systems can. So when the raging Ottauquechee River busted through two pipes in Woodstock, the company had to ask the state to approve an emergency $150,000 loan to patch the system back together before winter to ensure service for its 750 or so customers. Billings says the recent storm was even worse than Irene, when a single pipe broke, and now he says the company wants to open up negotiations to have the town purchase the water system before the next storm causes another water outage.
We had two river breaks, before we had one. It's double the problem when we have two. And so my hope is that that we've raised enough attention at the moment for people to think that it is something that should be discussed. And I think that the flood may have helped with that because it brought a few things to light that people hadn't seen before.
Billings brought some things to light himself recently when he hosted a public meeting to talk about selling the water system to the town. It's too early to talk about a price, Billings says, as the company is finishing off a state-mandated engineering report on the system. That's due at the end of the year. But the idea of holding a townwide vote to authorize what will likely be a multi-million-dollar bond to purchase and upgrade the water system does have some people in Woodstock talking.
If the town were to buy, who's going to assess the actual assets? And are there potential liabilities and everything? Who's going to be running the show, so to speak?
Peggy Fraser lives in downtown Woodstock, and she was without water for almost 2 weeks after the system failed in July following the floods. The infrastructure of the Woodstock Aqueduct Company water system has been cobbled together over the past 140 years, and some of the pipes don't meet modern design standards. The system could need up to $4 million in upgrades to meet the codes that regulate water pressure for fire hydrants. And like a lot of towns in Vermont, Woodstock faces housing and development pressures, and Fraser wonders if the system can handle future growth.
If it was once something that met the needs of the people, okay, but I don't see going forward how it's going to meet the needs of the future when it's, in a way, not totally meeting the needs of today.
Edward Esmond has been living in Woodstock for 20 years. He was here for Irene, and he and his wife had to deal with the most recent water outage. Esmond says a lot of people he knows in Woodstock don't want to go without water again, and he says they're looking for answers.
That was 11 years ago with Irene, and now this, and it's going to happen again. It's just the changing climate, the whole thing. Obviously, we're concerned. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Something has to be done to improve it.
A sale would have to be approved by state regulators, and the company says if the town doesn't want to take the system on, then it will be forced to look for a private investor to purchase the Woodstock Aqueduct Company. For Vermont Public, I'm Howard Weiss-Tisman in Woodstock.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Peter Hirschfeld, Bob Kinzel, and Howard Weiss-Tisman. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.